Yay.
Yay. Good morning.
It's nice to be here again with you, Yvonne. And today we have a beautiful subject that you felt to bring forth around emotions and the value thereof. And we've been going through a whole range of, I guess, aspects, subjects, topics, but really elements that are part of our human fabric, our human ecology, whether that is in relationship to others, relationship to ourselves, to our soul, to our communities. And I'm just excited to keep having these conversations and keep exploring for myself what it is that I all have come to learn and really know about the inner work, which is really where my kind of orientation has been. It's been very much around the return to self-sovereignty and my freedom as kind of very valuable concepts, so to speak, but really a state of being. And today we're unpacking, I suppose, in another series of unpacking, the value of emotions. And yeah, I just want to let you open it up so that we can have a good starting point with what your take on the value of emotions is.
Wow. Well, it's such a pertinent subject right now, because if you look out around the world, people everywhere are reacting to their emotions of fear. Mm-hmm. And when you do that, when you react to an emotion without unpacking the emotion and really looking at what is the emotion telling you. So I always look at the words, you know, we undo words. But of course, the word emotion means energy in motion. It is the life force going through us. That is what the emotion is. And what I've learned over the years and how I have made it a very valuable tool in my life is that I notice it is the message between the inner and the outer. Because I used to ask the question, when I first went on this journey and I kept getting these downloads, I was, you know, I'd say, yeah, well, that's all right, but explain to me how this works and why would I bother with it if it isn't, you know, I had this attitude. If everything that I was asked to do this inner work, that if that didn't make washing my dishes easier, why would I bother? You know, I'm a very grounded, practical person. So I was given this vision, this explanation that the emotion, because the soul, this is a soul journey that we're in human form, the soul doesn't have these five senses that the physical body has. So my question always was, well, if the soul can't feel these things and can't sense these things, what's the point of being here? How does the soul understand what I'm experiencing? And instantly it was through the emotion. So that's the energy, that's the message that the soul receives from the external experiences. So it's a discussion between the two. So if we are not aware of that, then it's wasted. We haven't got this ability to pay attention to the emotions. And for me, they're invaluable because they're the greatest message you can have, because it tells you whether it's a good feeling, which is a higher vibrational frequency that takes you up into a state of expansion, or it's a not good feeling, which takes you into a sense of implosion where we go down and we, you know, and growth is impossible. And because we're not taught that is really what our journey is about, a lot of people are afraid of their emotions, because they don't understand them. So what do you do with an emotion? You just push it down. And I believe that 90% of our dis-ease are caused as a result of stuffed emotions, unexpressed emotions. And learning to actually express your emotions in the moment from I messages, this is how I feel, this is how this is affecting me, that is lost, because most people are looking to for people to agree with them. Well, I don't feel that, so that makes you wrong. No, it doesn't. It just means that I feel this and you feel something else. And we have, and then that's great, because that gives us two looks at different experience, or two looks at the same experience. So it allows us to have a conversation with each other of acceptance and tolerance and expansion. So for me, emotions are invaluable, and one of the most important messengers that I have in my life.
Yeah, beautiful. I really relate to that myself. Once I started learning that my feelings weren't something to actually be afraid of, I actually didn't know that I had feelings. I knew it on a superficial level, because it's a word and it exists in the English language. So I was very well aware that I have feelings. But as a man having come out of the Western, you know, factory programming, and we go into this quite a bit, is that in order to see how we have been kind of compressed in our own freedoms, in our own expression of our sovereignty, we have to understand the cult programming and the conditioning and the social engineering, not to kind of go into it deeply and start pointing fingers, because that's all pretty pointless. But is that frame of reference of like where we've come out of has been a very unnatural and a very kind of deprived environment that is very akin to our industrial kind of societal consumeristic framework, that is very much kind of the same way in the predominant or the main of society and how we relate around feelings and emotions. And so, because feelings and emotions are part of our human nature, and it is that conversation between body, soul, and, well, what I relate to as myself, it is an intrinsic component of what it constitutes to be a human being. And so to have grown up in a society where that was not valued or seen as relevant, because it was just about, you know, what are you going to become in life, and what are you going to do for money? And so it's, that has been, and of course that's the fear-based programming, because that then the underpinning in that question is then about lack and scarcity, which ultimately then goes back to unresolved emotional imprinting and the fear of not having enough, while we live in a syntropic universe where abundance is the metric upon which nature operates. So there's a lot out of sync in the Western mentality, the mindset, as opposed to what is actually innate and intrinsic about our human nature in relationship to this aspect of our beingness that is so overlooked and kind of easily brushed off. And as you say, it's still totally responsible for pretty much every disease and every uncomfortability that we feel in our bodies. So when I started feeling my feelings, wow, the level of vulnerability that, you know, and I have this story that I'm a man, because I am in physicality. And I see that because men don't have a womb, there is a connection to intuitive feeling kind of missing. And we're just wired slightly differently than women are. And we all know the physiological differences and how they complement each other. But for me, as a boy and then a man growing up in this world, feelings has been really quite daunting, because it just, no training, no encouragement, no nurturing that, no fostering that, no okaying it, no normalizing it. And it wasn't that it was shunned consciously, it just wasn't part of the priority, that there wasn't value put on emotions being expressed, emotions being felt, emotions being okay, emotions just being energy in motion that is happening in someone's body. And I've really come to appreciate the relevancy, and for me really the function of these emotional reactions, as I call them, that there is something happening outside of myself, and I have a sensation of emotions happening from within that are messengers of something that my neurochemical associative memory is recognizing out there, and it maps it to something that it already has within, and it sees it as an opportunity without saying, hey, Sof, look out there, there's an opportunity, because look at how you feel right now. You're in a lot of judgment. And so there's so much that I have had to, over the years, kind of train myself into, stop myself from going into the judgment and then sitting with it. And I'm just curious what your take on that is. And because you've been at this for a while.
Yes, and I have experienced many emotions, right? I mean, when you're born into a war and you know, my greatest emotion was fear. And that was something that I had to unpack eventually. But when I look at the emotions, everything that I address, I tend to step back from it and look at it from the perspective of energy over and above our physiological connections. So the feeling part, if I put that aside from looking at emotion, what you always talk about, everything has a, you know, is a purposeless function. And so I look, what is the purpose of an emotion? Why do I have it? Because most people don't like their emotions because it unsettles them, right? So so what's the purpose of emotion? So when I look at that, it is the this energy that flows through you with purpose. And it all depends on how much energy you give that feeling as to what your reality will look like. So if I go to, you know, we've been for a long time bombarded with the law of attraction, and people say, well, there's something missing. Well, yeah, that's right, because the law of attraction talks about you think it and then it happens. Well, sorry, you've got a very big missing link there, because so the way that we work, so, you know, my passion has always been, if I buy a toaster, there's a little pamphlet that tells me what to do with it. Well, it tells me not to stick a knife in it, you know, if it's on. But I've arrived in this incredible piece of equipment, right? And I haven't got a clue how to run it. And that wasn't good enough for me. I wanted an instruction manual. So if I couldn't find one, I have to make one. So I began to do some real deep, to research. And my father had an amazing control over his mind. And as I mentioned before, his every second sentence was mind over matter. So I started to explore the mind. And I learned to use the mind as a tool. But through that, I also learned that emotion was also a very valuable tool. And so if you look at the law of attraction and say a thought creates your reality, well, it doesn't. A thought creates a feeling, all right? It creates a feeling or an emotion, which goes so from the head that goes to the heart, which then starts to create a feeling. Now, that feeling is the electromagnetic force that you send out into this quantum field of energy that is the foundation of all that we call reality. And because it is electromagnetic, it then makes you available for it to become form or experience in your life expression. So that's how that works. So if you just think the thought and you don't have the level of vibration created through your emotion that is equivalent to that which you're asking for, it's never going to happen. And that is such a mystery, right? So for me, when I look at my emotion, it is, for instance, let's look at what we're going through today. A lot of people are searching for answers. So they look for all sorts of information. And you can look at information without engaging your emotions, because the minute that you engage your emotion, you become an electromagnetic vehicle that will draw whatever you're paying attention to into your life experience. And that is just the fact of how we operate. And because we pay very little attention to us, to how we work, we are so conditioned and focused to, as you say, what are you going to do for money? You know, what sort of a job are you going to have? What are you going to, now we've got everybody who wants to have some sort of medication so they can go to a movie or they can go to a restaurant. And for me, I'm going, well, listen, I can make my food at home and I can even get my movies at home. So no, thank you. Because if I go to my emotion and ask my soul and the messages from the, I just get a no. So when we learn to how we operate and what emotion really means as a tool and as a messenger within us, then we start to be able to become our favorite word, sovereign. And without having that awareness and the ability to navigate our emotion, our energy in motion, we will never be able to step into our true sovereignties, because we'll always be looking for someone else to guide us and to tell us what to do when everything is within us.
Yeah, so beautiful, Yvonne. Along the way, I picked up many kind of one-liners, and I really want to go into this operation manual that you've written. I have the book here. I'm so grateful that you send a copy out, and it's to my unsurprised surprise a very easy read, and it's also quite frank, or at least how would I say, it's meeting me in a place where I'm like, yeah, okay, I'm being given language, which is part of a, if we don't read a manual, if you don't have a manual, there's nothing to read, so you don't know how to operate whatever tool device we have. And so there's many beautiful elements there that I've started familiarizing myself in, and I related back to what I have over the years accumulated and kind of distilled out. It's been my pretty much my obsession to figure out what I call the roadmap and the legend, to navigating really the internal landscape that would allow the return to self-sovereignty and the return to freedom to come about, because we make use of the function of all those emotional reactions, judgments, and projections. But one of the things that I briefly want to go into, and this is just entirely hypothetical, I'm not suggesting at all that this is true or real, this is just a little fantasy. We're currently living in 2021, which is also a fantasy because it's just a bunch of numbers. But for the sake of this this exploration, I'd just like to propose that there are some humans, let's even call them half humans, some call them psychopaths because they don't have a lot of empathy or relatability because they're so shut down on so many levels, and they're and these people in this story are very sick, really, and they are power hungry, they're very greedy, and it's an insatiable desire for them to just come up with more ways to basically control and dominate. And they have spent quite a bit of time on how to do that. And they worked out a formula. And the formula is that if you create scenarios that people can be afraid of, then people, because they don't have a manual, an operation manual on how their own physiological and psycho-emotional landscape functions, they go and actually feed the program by getting afraid or getting really angry or getting really upset. And so one of my one-liners, and I'm not saying that this is happening at all, it's just, it potentially could, let's put it that way, that there is a hidden hand behind everything that we are experiencing. And it's an opportunity for growth, that's for sure. If it was to be the case, and certainly I've had my reactions to certain elements that I've witnessed and I went within. But one of the things that I have held on to as one of my guidelines is this one-liner called the failure of the third party. And the failure of the third party, meaning that I have accepted the failure of government, external authority. External authority doesn't even exist anyways, because who other than God that I'm part of in creation is having any authority over me other than myself? And that can be daunting for a lot of people. It's like, well, I kind of am comfortable that somebody has authority over me. And that then goes back to, well, that's how we've been conditioned. I have come already into acceptance, and I continuously remind myself what I call either the failure of other, making it about somebody else, making it about what they are doing and how I am affected by it because of them, and then going into the blame, shame, projection, the victim mentality, the trauma triangle of the perpetrator needing a savior, and because I can't do it myself. And obviously in that narrative, I would be the victim. And I see that what we are dealing with on a global level in this story that I painted, that everybody can probably relate to, as actually being rather truthful, that we're being played. We don't know our own operational manual. We don't know that as we are emotionally reacting, we're actually feeding. If we're not transforming, if we're not resolving, we're coping. And at the very best, if we're coping, we're just managing to suppress and kind of work through and wrestle with and argue within ourselves. And there's turmoil, and that then fosters, but really festers more disease and discomfortability in the bodily cells, which are just a messaging reflection of what's going on inside that emotional landscape. And so there are many insights that I've come into awareness of that are unique one-liners for me, so to speak, that have really helped me guide myself to return home to self by actually seeing that these emotions and these emotional reactions are performing a function with purpose. And if I take myself out of judgment, I can question the function. I'd really like to hear a little bit more about the operational manual, because if people don't know that we are actually the host and that we have all the tools, we have all the mechanisms, we everything is within, so to speak, but we're not shown how to make use of the function, so to speak, because there's a lot of in the internal mechanics of my own being over the years, I've discovered that there was a lot out of place, a lot of beautiful streamlined flows of love and inspiration. We're all like conked and bent and warped and twisted and crumbled and can, you know, all of that sort of like energy. And I had to go to those places to let that energy be free flowing again. And I feel that that's something that may really be beneficial to kind of tap into a bit more, because it's there's so much to it, and at the same time it's so simple, but then we were never taught this. And so if you want to tag onto that, that would be really, really lovely, because the secret to life is a great handbook and a great manual, as I see it, for anyone wanting to explore and get more language to managing ourselves and having capacity to be in awareness of what's going on, when and where we react, and how we can be positively engaged with that.
Well, thank you for that. But so when I first, when my life fell apart, which is what happens, and you know, this is the thing. I don't look out there. I know it's tough, but it is essential, because when I look at my time of awakening, my life completely fell apart, right? So everything that, every opinion I ever had, and I was very opinionated, and every belief I held, you know, it all was kicked to the curb. And so I remember sitting down one day thinking, well, I don't know what I'm doing. And I came across a test. And the test was to have a look at my life from the perspective of four parts. So it talked about because we're all saying, I want to be a whole person. You know, that became such a phrase in the New Age community. I want to be a whole person. Yeah, okay. What does it mean? Well, so for me, a whole person means there's a physical, there's a mental, there's emotional, and a spiritual part. Mm. And all four of those parts of us need to work in unison. So anyone who's listening to this, you can do this little exercise. You sit down and you write those four things down. Well, at the time, I was writing those four things, and I went physical. Yes, I knew that was, you know, my body, and it was very busy, and I knew the doing part of my life. And then mental, well, I was such an intellectual snob that my head was, you know, I've got a little head, but it was the size of a watermelon. And everything in my life had to come through this, you know, magnificent brain that I had, this wonderful analytical mind that I was very proud of. And then I looked at the emotional part of me and I went, oh, well, I don't pay a lot of attention to that. You know, it comes and it goes and it's, yeah, I know that I'm very sentimental. So I knew that at times my emotions were a little bit out of kilter. And at that time, because my life was in crisis, my emotions completely, you know, out of balance. And then spiritual, and I don't go to church, don't believe in that stuff. So now, listening to me describe that, how whole was I?
Mm-hmm.
I was completely out of sync when you look at those four aspects. So my journey then became about bringing all those into alignment, and that's really when I had to go within and find my spirit and my soul, because I just thought spirituality was the religious thing, and boy, that was something I tried and wasn't too keen on. So, and again, not because it was all about the authoritarian powers that take control and tell you that, you know, you need a middleman. Well, I've got a red phone straight to there and I don't need any middleman or woman. But it took me a while to find the number, right? Mm-hmm. So that is what I'm really looking at for your question. So we look at all four of those aspects. How much of you at the moment is so attached to the fear of losing your physical gratuities and your physical freedom that you've forgotten about your, you know, the inner you, the sovereign you, the, as you say, the one that is connected to God source.
Mm-hmm.
And that has always been the foundation of my journey, that those four aspects are always in balance. So I did begin by teaching people, you know, I retrain people's thoughts because our thoughts create our feelings. So when you can control your thoughts, then you then start to find out what those thoughts create energetically in your feelings, in your emotion, in the energy in motion. So your thought starts the motion of your energy. And so that then goes to your feeling center. And that feeling center either is one that is strong or it isn't strong. And then the more passionate you are about something, the greater the amount of vibrational frequency you create. And this is where people who are great orators, right, they can create in a mass population or in a group, they can create and feed a frenzy of emotion by just being able to tap into a feeling state and building the frequency of that. And then you suddenly see, whoa, you know, people are out there doing the most ridiculous things that they never thought they could. So does that kind of explain a little bit how I view that? And one of the reasons that I find emotions are so important to unpack is because it is the foundation of health. Mm. And so when you have a very clear emotional body, you also have a very strong immune system. So our immune system is connected to our emotional body. And and that then affects, you know, our glands and all of our organs. Because you know, we talk about the chakra system. So when you have a feeling, it comes up in one of these seven chakras. You can feel it. So when we, you know, but people are so disengaged from their physiology and from this amazing piece of equipment that tells you everything.
Yeah.
If you just turn this one off.
Yeah. Yeah, so good, Yvonne. And I'm just taking some notes here for myself because I've really started to notice that our conversations are so poignant to what I am in my own personal life still uncovering and exploring. And last week we spoke about abandonment, and one particular part is how we're in all of this mayhem that is being stirred up around us. There is an opportunity to participate in that and feed that to one degree or the other, because people need to know. And I'm not saying that people don't need to know what's going on. It's just everybody is in their own place with it. But we spoke about that, the abandonment of our own sovereignty, of our own freedom, and knowing that that is just a place to return to within. It's not something that we can claim out there, but we certainly, in the process of standing up for our sovereignty and making noise, we are able to reclaim something, but the reclaiming really happens on the inside. There's not a piece of paper that anybody can give you that will, you know, because who is that external authority that signs off on that piece of paper about your sovereignty? So this one of the things that came up for me as you mentioned that the four layers in my upbringing that started when I was about 32 with the indigenous peoples and the grandmothers that supported me for a very long time. It's been a bit quiet over the last year and a half because I've been here a lot. But there was some really beautiful insights that I gained into the four bio body suits of our, the four layers, the four temples, the four aspects of, and how these bodies as an intellectual body or a mind body and a physical body and our spiritual body and our emotional, our feeling-based world, that these four worlds, they kind of fall out of flow. And one of the things that when I started re-enabling my nature, which is really the key shift in my life, is that I committed myself without knowing what it was to re-enable my nature, but I willfully deployed my will to proclaim and state, I want to re-enable my nature. I believe fully on the core of my being that there is so much more that I can return to. And I didn't have that language at that time, but I was willing to really just re-enable the intrinsic, the innate. And what I very early on realized is how plagued I really was by the programmed misuse and overuse of the intelligence. And what my grandmother showed me is how these four worlds have to be kind of like overlaying each other in order for the coherency and flow and the health and the thrivality and just really just the natural nature of us as human beings for that to function in a natural way, just the way that it's just simply actually designed. And when we have an element of one of these worlds being overactive, like the overuse of our intelligence as the means to kind of keep us safe and all of that, what we'll find is that it pulls out of sync our emotional body, which actually, based on unresolved trauma, is fueling that mind to be so strong and on top to keep us safe and to make sure that we are protected and we are not falling into traps and so forth. But the interesting thing is that that is a bit of a trap in itself, because it's a self-fulfilling prophecy, and it's there's decades for me of self-justification that I was programmed into. to justify my own judgments, which were really underpinned by feelings and emotions that I didn't know how to get into or feel safe enough around to relate with. And so it's beautiful that you mentioned that, because there's so much more than just, you know, turning off our mind or starting to feel our feelings or questioning, oh, I have, you know, my hip here is really sore, or I have a tired eye, or gosh, I'm so stagnated in my digestion. All of that are messengers. All of that is information that is informing us. It's forming a narrative that we can kind of back engineer if we're willing to become curious. We can sort of trace it back to the, what is it really saying? Is it just saying, oh, I'm just bloated? But if that keeps going, then maybe, and it keeps persisting and it doesn't clear, then maybe there is indeed something there that really benefits being listened to. And this is one of the things that I like to go into as we're halfway through our hour, is the, how do we train ourselves to listen? How do we train ourselves to relate?
Well, I love that, because I'm in constant conversation with my body and my mind and my emotions. I think it is dialogue.
Yeah.
Again, we are so outer directed. I used to have this bit of parley with the creator, saying, well, you know, when I get up there, there are a couple of things that I really want you to tell you that was faulty in the design. Okay. I mean, the first one is that these two eyes are pointing out. They should be pointing in.
Nice.
The other thing at the time were my teeth. I want to have teeth like sharks that you can just, you know, recycle. But yes. It was mostly about the eyes pointing in the wrong direction. And so, so, you know, that's a problem. We are so outer directed that we forget that. The only reason we can see is because of this wonderful physiological instrument. So I just know that we have to learn to be in conversation with our bodies, because, look, you know, we look after our cars better than we look after our bodies, right? I mean, you have a look at the stuff that we shove into our bodies that are totally not good for us, right? But it tastes good. Well, if I put, sometimes people come to me and they say, I want to stop smoking. And I go, well, why do you smoke? Why, if you want to stop smoking, the first thing, and I'm fairly direct, as you might use it, I was direct in my writing, I'm fairly direct when I speak. So some of my clients, they recommend me, but usually with a slight warning. So I'd say, you know, are you ready to hear the truth? But it is about knowing that, and I'd say, look, have you got your car parked out there? And they go, yes. And I go, so you don't mind if I put some Drano into the oil, do you? And they look at me and they go, what? And I go, well, you don't mind if I just go and do that? That's not going to make any difference. Yes, it will. I said, why? What will happen? Well, it won't go. I said, oh, funny that. But we just do that, and we expect our bodies to just keep doing what we want it to do without paying any attention to what we're doing to it. And so servicing our vehicle, I think, is number one, and that's the first part of the physical layer, as you talk about, right? This honoring this beautiful body that was created by our soul for the purpose of a function. Right? And that function is not to go and sell your soul to somebody who's going to give you a pittance of a little bit of exchange so that you can go and buy bread for your family. That is not our purpose here on earth. Mm. Right? Mm. And unfortunately, we've been taken away from understanding how amazing we are and what beautiful expressions of nature that we are. Mm-hmm. So taking care of that, and then for me, the emotional part is so valuable, because it talks to me all the time. It tells me whether what I'm about to do feels good or it doesn't feel good. And that hasn't got anything to do with whether it is good or it isn't good. That comes from a decision I then make, whether what I'm about to enact is going to override my feelings, because right now I, you know, this is what needs to be done, or whether I'm going to sit down and say, well, okay, you know, what are you telling me? What are you telling me? We don't spend enough time listening to, as you say, we have a sore eye and you take it to somebody else and say, fix it. Well, I had that and I did have it fixed, but I also did my inner healing. But instantly my question is, so what am I not looking at? Mm-hmm. Or what am I looking at too much? And it was the letter. And so I stopped looking at whatever I was looking at too much, and my eye healed.
Yeah.
So it's those sorts of things that we have to learn to listen. We get these messages all the time. We get them through our emotions, through this energy in motion, because it's going on all the time. So if people at the moment think that by doing certain things that authority is asking them to do, it's going to be better for them and if they're going to feel better, I've got news for you. Because ultimately when truth surfaces, which it will, you will have to then deal with the emotion, oh, God, why did I? And why didn't I listen? And why didn't I look further? Why did I do this to myself? Mm. This is all going to come to the surface. And then we have to process those emotions, because if we don't, and if we ignore the messages that emotions tell us, that is when they get stuck in our bodies and that's when they cause disease. You know, I came to the understanding that cancer is caused for unresolved grief and unresolved resentment. And we have to learn, and to be able to feel safe to express our emotions, we need to do what you are so wonderful for, and that is we need to give people space to be able to express themselves honestly and openly, and for us to hold the space of listening without opinion or judgment.
Yeah.
Now, that's a leap that this humanity has to make, right? Because we've been so indoctrinated to have an opinion, to want one person to agree with another. I don't care if he never agreed with me, but will you sit and let me express my feelings and they'll love you?
Yeah. Yeah, it's so beautiful that you go into that extension, what I call our human ecology. And from my study of syntropy, syntropic growth forestry, and my desire and my commitment to re-enable my nature, I ended up studying human nature and not this pre-programmed, dedicated version of it that doesn't really say that we are a warmongering peoples on this earth, but because all of his story is simply just full of which war happened when and which war happened after that and who betrayed who and who didn't honor and respect and kings and queens and all of this rubbish, there is this underlying unexamined assumption that somehow war is just part of human nature. And deceiving each other is just part of human nature. And betraying each other and being angry with each other and raping and killing each other. And it's all a lie. It's all not true. And when you kind of press the history teacher on it and say, well, I never said that you know, we are war-rich people. But it's insinuated because that's all that was talked about. And so my study of human nature has been that our human ecology is a syntropic human ecology, because we are of life as much as life is of life. And we are a human family of love. And then, okay, well, if that is our home base frequency, then we are very far off the mark in being that. And that has been my gift, my burden, my blessing, to really unpack and really find the life ways. And of course, I've been blessed and gifted so much in my times in deep, hidden out in nature, where I was able to really finally open up this thing and just put it to the side without dismissing it, but really just open up and question deeply what is required to restore and recalibrate and recultivate and return to a human ecology that allows everything that you just spoke about that we'll have to deal with at some point, that already creates that ecosystem, that already cultivates this innate and intrinsic awareness and reminds people of our human nature in a setting where then feeling-based relating, as I discovered it, really gets to become practiced as a life way, as a way of being. And that recognizing and having seen that there is so much unresolved trauma, and this last 2 years is just even you know, putting all of that out on display pretty much, that there it's just for everyone to see and for everyone to feel that there is so much emotional reactivity coming out and coming forward. And really, when we look at it, it's all opportunity. But where is our human ecology to create the safe spaces for people? Because one thing that I've learned is that every time over the past 5 or 6 years that I was of the mind that I could do it myself, I could work this out, I can question the function, I can go within, I can feel my feelings, and then I can just alchemize it and find that part of self, because that's ultimately what happened for me. I disassociated, I can name that part, bring it home, imagining a rescripting of the story, and I'll be totally resolved. Never happened. And the reason it never happened, I learned, and I had to learn the hard way, because I was all about self-sovereignty, right? So I have to be able to do it on my own. I'm going to have to heal myself. And the beautiful thing about human nature and human ecology and just life here on the earth is that we are one macro ecology. We are interlinked and we are interdependent with all of life. We couldn't function really properly in terms of the restoration of wholeness and self-sovereignty and the return to freedom and the emergence of natural existing love that as a temperament of being just comes out. I never was able to get to where I am within myself without the hundreds of beautiful humans that were willing to receive me, that were just willing to witness, that were willing to be available for me to express, to press out what was all going on inside of me. Because what I noticed that as I was trying to rationalize it all, I only was able to kind of explain it away. But that is just one world of the four worlds of this internal landscape, which is our physicality, our spiritual component, and then our emotional world and our intellectual kind of overuse that I've kind of had to bring myself out of. And I of course I'm still very much engaged in my intellect, because I love sharing from what I have come to comprehend, because it's one of the easier ways to start the process of re-enabling one's nature. Once the mind, which is kind of like the gatekeeper of all the feelings and emotions, no, we're not going to feel that, we're not going to do that, no, that's not a good idea. Once the mind gets disarmed by these natural comprehensions of what actually is really real and what is happening on the physiological nature of our beingness. Once the mind gets that, it's like, ah, okay, I'm not at a threat. And so I just wanted to share that, because you shared something in our preparation for this conversation around collapsing into our emotions and how that actually disempowers us. And I would just like to invite you to share around that, because that's a intellectual one-liner, so to speak, that once the mind gets that, and it's like, oh, what am I doing? I'm actually falling into and getting myself caught in the overwhelm of these emotions. And what I am doing in the process is disempowering myself.
Yeah, what a beautiful segue into what looks like we're almost at the end of this. And that is to understand that when the emotion is balanced with the mind and with, you know, your physical expression and your spiritual know-how, then it becomes calm. But when it is not in balance, and it's the same when the body is not in balance, it's up and down and, you know, crazy. And if the mind is not in balance, and that's very often, it's just runs stories. And when you are disconnected from your soul and source, then you're just going through the motions, and you miss the meaning of life. But when the emotion is out of balance, that is when I kind of see us like we've become a fish on dry land, flapping about. Because when I look at the world today, people have collapsed into the emotion of fear. And so fear is ruling their life, and they're making all their decisions from a fear base. And I always say to people, show me fear. What does fear look like? Give it a substance. It's a story in the mind that takes our emotional body and runs a riot with it. Mm. And it's how we've been controlled for eons. Mm-hmm. So I see in front of us now that this new earth communities that we are both so passionate about, and we're not the only ones, is a place where that has no longer any function. Well, it doesn't really have any function with purpose at all, except taking you away from your soul path and your sovereignty. Mm-hmm. But when you collapse into your emotions, you lose control over them, and you are just a knee-jerk reactional person, because it feels bad. When your emotions are out of control, it feels bad. And all you want to do is do whatever you can to feel better. It's what all our addictions are associated with, is to stop the feeling bad. That means that there's an emotion that you're not addressing, and you are just a victim to that emotion. And so you might go and eat the wrong foods, right? You have an eating addiction or a drug addiction or an alcohol addiction, anything to numb the bad feeling. And at the moment out there, I see people standing in queues to give me anything to stop feeling bad. And it's a fear that is now really eating away at people, because that is an emotion that they're not addressing. They're not asking, what am I afraid of? And what is that telling me about me? And can I heal that within myself? And when we can heal that within ourselves, when we can go within and go, I'm out of balance. I need to make this, you know, I need to listen to what this amazing emotion is telling me, because it's a gift from God. Everything that we are is a gift from God, and I don't use that word lightly. And it's not the God that religion has put into a matchbox and then shut and said, the only way in is through me. I always think that's so messy. So it just is important that we look at what we're doing and going, is our emotion out of balance? And we do some terrible damage when our emotions are out of balance. Because we lash out because of our bad feeling. But the feeling is yours, and only you can address it, and only you can heal it and put it back into balance by listening to it and by hearing its message. So if I have to give one message today, it is spend some time with yourself, go within and ask, what is my emotion telling me? You know, what is this amazing gift I have telling me that is true for me?
So beautiful, Yvonne. We're close to the top of the hour, and so much of what we're relating about is directly related to our own social experiment, our own communities that we are part of, that we are nurturing and getting nourishment from. And for me, that is the Brave New Life community. For you, that is too. And you have an extended community in the physical around you as well. And
I've got the Connect to Soul New Earth community, and we have a Facebook group So that is, you know, and we are so aligned.
It's so great. And these spaces are places where we cultivate that human connection, that relating, creating the safety to even begin unpacking and unraveling all of this that is rising up, wants to be somehow resolved. Because if we don't resolve the unresolved, well, the last time I checked is that the unresolved will remain unresolved until it's properly resolved. And so how can we do that? And I've learned that we, as a human family, we benefit really, I would almost say need, and I could say it, but we benefit so tremendously having human relationships that are safe to express and share our deeper emotional landscape with what's emerging, what is alive there, so that we can indeed explore it. Next week, I would love to talk about Koyaanis Kwatsi. And Koyaanis Kwatsi is a world out of balance. And this is something that I was feeling, well, I still feel so honored to be introduced to that understanding that that's what we're dealing with here on the earth, a world out of balance. And this is our world's out of balance and how to rebalance that. And I'd like to bring some indigenous perspectives to that, which are really original perspectives. But yeah, in closing, I would like to close with a little sharing from one of our Brave New Life community members that really kind of summarizes in a short and concise way his experience of these communities and these community calls that we have, that we are passionate about, and that we see as, well, I see them as the means to transform and bridge that gap, that world out of balance. How do we bring that back into balance? And so if you're ready for that, Yvonne, we'll sign up today, and we'll see you all next week again. Thank you for tuning in and sharing this out where you can. I'm unable to share anything out beyond what I can do on Facebook, because if I go anywhere outside of what I'm currently doing, I'm blocked and banned again. So, which is wonderful. So if anybody feels...
We find each other.
We find each other. We do.
We do. Thank you.
Nice. Beautiful.
We'll do it again next week.
I'll see you again next week.
It's a safe space to be vulnerable. It's to realize that you can step outside of this kind of fear identity that you feel like is who you are, but it's not who you are. And you can really be yourself. That's one of the things that I love about this community.